Thank you everybody for staying for the last session. Today I'm going to talk about production of three new hybrids of grapefruit, trying to improve like no canker resistance. Maybe like, you know, if you heard Dr. Jude Grosser talks yesterday, he highlighted about this technology. So first, like no citrus canker, just to give you a little bit background, it's caused by a bacterial cause like no Xanthomonas citri, and it's a devastating disease for caused like no really like no substantial damages and losing for citrus growing country. The symptoms like no as excuse me, as we will see in the next slide, it can be like no raised lesion on the surface of the leaves, the stem, the fruits, with oily and water soaked and pustule like edges surrounded by pleurotic hairs. It's very serious disease of most of the commercial citrus varieties. As we will see, like no, and I prepared like no some table. You will see like no, all of the commercial citrus varieties they are susceptible to citrus canker. In the severe infection, it can cause deflation, blemished fruit, premature fruit, drop, twigs die back, and generally, the whole trees will decline. Citrus canker is systemic, so it causes just local lesions only. As I just said, like no, the symptoms could be like no in the leaves, like no different region, or in the twigs, or in the fruit, or even in the whole tree. And if you notice here, you will see always the winding and like no the leaf minor always associated with citrus canker. So to talk about just like no classify the citrus variety based on their susceptibility to the citrus canker, we can put them in four different groups. The first one is highly susceptible, and it's including the grapefruit, and I believe like no many people like grapefruit and they like to eat it or drink grapefruit juice every day. Second group, which like no moderately susceptible, it's include like no the sweet orange and the lemon and the tangelo and the pomelo. The third group is the susceptible group, and the last group it's the resistant group. And as you can see, like you know, if you look at the first three groups, they include all the commercial citrus variety. The resistance one, it's we use it for breeding. So what we have here, we have like you know, one cultivar, which is the kumquat, it's a resistant one. We have one or group of cultivar with like you know, the grapefruit and sweet orange. In the highly susceptible, what we are trying to move the resistant trait from the kumquat to the grapefruit. So to do this, this like no technology which is called like no hybridization, or it's a new tool like no to improve the disease resistant. So as you know, not all the genes hosted in the nucleus in the plant, the mitochondria and the chloroplast has small genome. And in the case of kumquat, there is a gene in the mitochondria which like no responsible for the canker resistance. So is it possible to move the mitochondrial from like no the kumquat to the other cultivar? Yes, it's possible to move the mitochondrial genome of one parent to the second parent and forming what we called hybrid. And actually this processing, it doesn't change the background of the original plant. In general, the unfused, when we do the protoplast hybridization in citrus, the unfused citrus leaf protoplast, it's not capable to regenerate plant. So when we do the hybridization, we get some diploid plant, and this diploid plant, we noticed that their morphology it's very similar to the mesophyll parent plant. So it's not similar to the embryogenic colors, it's similar to the mesophyll parent plant. And then with the genetic molecular marker, this indicates that this plant, this diploid plant generated from the fuse, it's always hybrid, which containing the nucleus from the mesophyll plant and the mitochondria or the original genomes from the embryogenic callus bearer. And the chloroplast, genome inheritance is random, and if we talk about like the hybrid plant after production, it's not regulated as a GMO. This just to summarize the how we do it. As you can see, like we have two parent, either the cell suspension or the embryogenic callus with the leaf. We can get the leaf either from the greenhouse or from in vitro with like enzymatic digestion. We isolate the protoplast, we fuse the protoplast, and then we generate this until we get our plant, and eventually we will confirm if this plant is somatic hybrid or cybrid, or it just like something like one of the parent plant. So this like not our starting material, the leaf material, and this is how we isolate the protoplast in the surface between the sucrose and mannitol ingredient. This typically showing like the protoplast after treatment with the polyethylene glycol, and as you can see, there is some cells from the embryogenic callus. Some the green one is the leaf protoplast, and you can see like some fused cell. Just here to show you like the steps after we culture our protoplast, like the liquid media. 4 to 6 weeks later, we start to subculture on different media with different plant growth regulator to initiate like callus and the embryo, until to the end we get the shoots to be going to the rotting media. And this protocol is very well established in Dr. Grosser lab. So what's happening here? Like if we have like parent A and parent B with the nucleus and the mitochondria and chloroplast, after the treatment with the polyethylene glycol, we will have the biparental fusion product, and then there is some organelle replication and random segregation. So what we are expect to get from that? First, we expect to get somatic hybrid, which we will have the two protoplasts fused together, and in this case we will have the 4X somatic hybrid. Or we will have the parental type, we will have the same parent again, like some cells we will be like in this mixture of the protoplast I just showed in the previous slide, or we will have some other combination which like as I said, like a different random segregation of the organelle. So as you can see here, you could see like the nucleus from parent A, but it has the mitochondrial from parent B, and so it's a different combination. What we are looking in our case, what we are interested in, we are interested in the cybrid which has the nucleus from the mesophyll parent and the mitochondria from the embryogenic callus, because as I said, the gene responsible for the canker resistance, it's present in the kumquat mitochondria. Actually, this option of getting the cybrid, we can get more than that. If I try to look or all the possibilities, what I can get from the fusion to protoplasts, I can get 48 outcome. As you can see, I can get 16 different combination of the hybrid and 30 cybrid, 15 from each parent plus the two parental type. So after we generate this small shoots, we need to confirm they are diploid or tetraploid, so we can follow them to see if they are cybrid or just one of the parent plant. So at this very early stage, we can use the flow cytometer to see which one is diploid and which one is tetraploid. So by our flow cytometer, if it gives us the peak on 100, so that means that this sample is diploid. If it gives it to us at 200, which is double, so that means that this sample is tetraploid, or if you mix the two samples, you should see two clear peaks indicating the diploid and the tetraploid. So after that, we generated this plant, and as I said, as you can see here, this is the grapefruit leaf, the marsh, and on the other side, it's the Miwa grapefruit. So if I get a hybrid between these two, we notice that the hybrid will have a leaf in between the two parents. But in this case, what we noticed here that the leaf of the hybrid is resembling to the mother plant or the mesophyll mother plant, which it was the grapefruit. So we're assuming that this plant here is a hybrid, because as I mentioned, the protoplast from leaf doesn't have the capability to generate by itself. So what's happening here, by moving the mitochondrial from the miwa kumquat to the leaf protoplast, it's giving it the enough energy and the power to regenerate the plant. And this, like, you know, how this plant looks like last week in the greenhouse, I have, like, you know, large population from March. I have about, like, you know, 100 clones, and from the other two, I have about 25 clones each one. So next, we try to see, like, you know, to use a molecular marker to identify the mitochondria and the plastid genome came from which pair. So as you can see here, like, you know, this primer with for the blasted marker, we get the bands for the miwa leaves and the last four lengths. They are assembling the hybrid of the three grapefruit with the miwa leaf or the miwa callus, but just the grapefruit plant, they have different band size. The same thing with these two marker, we get, if you look at, like, you know, the miwa and the hybrid and the miwa callus, you will see they have slightly either smaller or larger band, more than the original or the parent of the grapefruit. This was for the blasted marker. For the mitochondrial marker, it's very clear that we have the miwa mitochondrial in the hybrid blend. For the other marker, for the CC4O3, it doesn't show, like, no any polymorphism. So to come to the conclusion, we generated somatic hybrid of marsh flame N11-11 grapefruit by moving the miwa kumquat mitochondria using our protoplast fusion protocol. So this hybrid, as I show you the picture, the hybrid-like grapefruit plant resembles the mesophyll parent leaves in morphology, and the molecular marker for the plastids and the mitochondria indicating that this organelle has been moved from the miwa kumquat to the grapefruit. This regenerated hybrid may have a great potential to improve canker resistance in the commercial grapefruit variety. So what is the current stage and the next work? Current, we are trying to propagate this hybrid blend. So, and also we're gonna to do molecular marker for each individual to identify the source of the organelle genomes, and we're gonna to challenge this blend with canker pathogen in the greenhouse, and also we will put them under, like, you know, the field under high pressure of canker disease in the field to see what they will do. And finally, I would like to thank our, like, you know, funding agent, the CRDF and NVDMC and the University of Florida Foundation, Cross Drone Memorial Fund. And by this, I can take any question. No, actually we didn't try this, but it's a good suggestion. We can think about it. Yeah, thank you.
I'm just curious. If anybody tried
the clone, yes. Yeah, some groups work on it, of course. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.